Your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, who's here on Mondays and Fridays, while I host on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. This is the second in a minimum of six programs I'm devoted to one of the most complex and controversial issues of our day, namely the events of 9/11 and how they can be most adequately understood. A firestorm of criticism has broken out within the 9/11 community over the suggestion that a kind of high-tech or directed energy weapon might have been involved. I'm afraid that a lot of those who are offering this criticism have a meager understanding of the nature of science. If we're devoted to discovering the truth about 9/11, we have to give consideration the full range of alternative possible explanations. In particular, if the simpler explanations are inadequate to explain all of the available evidence, we may be compelled to adopt a more complex explanation. There's a widespread misunderstanding about what is known in philosophy as Occam's razor, which suggests that you should prefer the simplest explanation. However, that is only true if it is also adequate to explain all of the relevant evidence. So today, we're going to have an extended exploration of the evidence that has to be explained. And I want to begin by talking about general principles of scientific reasoning and why it may be extremely important, if not indispensable, to the discovery of truth about 9/11 for us to consider a far broader range of possible alternative explanations than has heretofore been given serious consideration within the research community. When we talk about science, we're, of course, concerned with multiple principles, but most importantly, science does not deal in general with certitudes, with certainties, but rather with probabilities and likelihoods. The way in which probabilities and likelihoods are related is indispensable because when you consider different hypotheses in relation to the evidence in general, you're entertaining those hypotheses as possible causes of that evidence as an effect. So when you have an hypothesis that confers a higher probability on that effect, then that hypothesis is preferable to others that confer a lower probability on that effect. And when you measure degrees of evidential support this way, they yield what are known technically as likelihoods, where the likelihood of an hypothesis given the evidence is equal to the probability of the evidence if the hypothesis were true. Now, science involves four steps or stages and a rule of inference known as inference to the best explanation that is built upon likelihoods as measures. Let me offer a simple example familiar to all. Suppose a typical police investigation, they discover a body. Now, the body may or may not have any marks. Suppose, for example, there are some bruises around the neck, okay? But there's an absence of any knife marks or knife wounds, bullet holes, bullet wounds, no foaming at the mouth and so forth, so that it may be apparent that if you take the body as it stands, that the probability that this body was caused by having been shot is extremely low. The probability that this body was the deceased was killed by being stabbed is very low. The probability that the deceased may have been strangled, given that there's some marks on the neck, however, may be fairly high. Now, if that's the evidence of
I just kind of had a little flashback there. Gatlin runs the 100 meters in a record 9.76 seconds. You know, that's right. That's who we are. Thank you. And in April, he tested
positive. Did we get a miss? Did we get a miss?
Substance, and he accepted an 8-year ban from track.
Was I knocked off? Are we back on? Where did I leave off? Did you catch? I'll go ahead. The point I'm making is in science we have to deal with probabilities and likelihoods. The likelihood of an hypothesis given evidence is equal to the probability of that evidence if the hypothesis were true. To take a simple example familiar to us all, suppose we have a dead body. And the dead body is basically clean. There are no knife marks, there are no gun wounds, and so forth, but it does have some bruises around the neck. Well, if you consider the body in relation to alternative hypotheses about what may have brought about the demise of the deceased, then the probability that this person was killed by a gunshot is very low. The probability that this person was killed by a knife wound is very low. The probability that this person died by strangulation is higher. So that clearly, since the effect of those marks around the neck is relatively high given strangulation, and the absence of gunshot wounds or knife marks is highly improbable, if, in fact, he had been shot or wounded, then it's quite clear that the evidence makes the hypothesis of strangulation the preferable hypothesis. Now, if that's all we know about the case, then at that point in time, our preferable hypothesis about, you know, the cause of death of the decedent is strangulation. The body, however, is sent to the medical examiner who makes a more thoroughgoing examination. Suppose, for example, that the medical examiner discovers that, in fact, the person appears to have been poisoned using a barbiturate suppository, for an illustration. That is certainly a cause that would not have been evident initially from merely inspecting the body. In that case, based upon the addition of new evidence, we have to reassess the relative likelihoods. And now the probability that a decedent was killed by poisoning may assume a higher probability even that they were strangled. And indeed, a more exact determination of cause of death may make it very clear that the individual died not by strangulation but by poisoning. Now, if we carry this forward to the scientific problem we encounter in relation to 9/11, then there's a question here about the specificity of the what's known technically as the explanandum. That's the phenomenon to be explained. What is it we're trying to explain? If you just want to talk about, you know, that the buildings came down, the twin towers 1 and 2, the North and South Tower came down, then you might consider a full range of possible explanations, including the jet plane impact, fuel fire, collapse theory, the government's advanced, a conventional controlled demolition from the bottom-up hypothesis, using conventional explosives, a variation on which might be the use of thermite, an unconventional controlled demolition from the top down, which might or might not use thermite, and as we go forward, if we find that there's sufficient aspects of the situation that thermite alone, for example, cannot explain, we want to consider or may find it essential to consider alternatives that we might not like on political grounds or based upon our simple ignorance of the case, or what we prefer not to consider, possibility of the use of mini nukes or directed energy or some high-tech weapon that might have emerged out of space-based technology. The United States has been engaged in a very serious attempt to develop space-based weapons related to satellites and the like that are going to have to receive consideration if, in fact, the evidence is not adequately explainable without them. So all of these hypotheses can be testable, provided that they have effects that differentiate them from their alternatives. An example that would not be testable, however, is not a high-tech weapon, but the idea that the buildings came down as a consequence of God's will. None of us have any way of determining what is God's will, and yet Jerry Falwell has offered the suggestion that the reason for 9/11 was because God was punishing us for too many abortions, too many gays, and the ACLU. That's a bizarre hypothesis, but it's also unscientific. Stand by. We'll be right back. This is Jim Fetzer, the Dynamic.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At researchedherbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at researchedherbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at researchedherbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in six vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit TornadoAir.com or pick up your tornado at Checker, Shucks, and Cragen today.
In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Block It by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Block It fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly Clark.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Can do me no harm. fuel fire and a pancake collapse is actually inconsistent with the evidence and even with the laws of physics and engineering. So that's not going to cut it. We know that this does not appear to have been a conventional demolition from the bottom up. In fact, all the floors are motionless, unlike Building 7, where we see all the floors coming down together in a classic demolition. This is clearly a non-standard, a non-classic controlled demolition. It involves the destruction, the demolition of the building from the top down. The top is just turning to sawdust in the memorable metaphor of my guest today. So the question becomes, what can possibly account for this? And the greater degree of specificity we have of the explanandum, of exactly what it is we want to explain, which is going to include, among other things, for example, the total mass of the building. These structured weighs some 500,000 tons. The interval of time during which they came down. According to the 9/11 Commission report, the South Tower came down in 10 seconds. According to NIST, they came down in 9 seconds and 11 seconds. And yet that's even faster than free fall, where, say, a piano, depending on its dimensions, a small, very heavy piano might come down as fast as 12 and a half seconds. A lighter piano with its lid open as long as 30 seconds. We know faster than free fall is an impossibility if only acting under the influence of gravity. So it looks as though this whole thesis of collapse is completely unsustainable, and that being able to account for the disappearance of these buildings in less time than free fall is going to require some ingenuity in figuring out exactly what happened here. Thermite, we all know, has been proposed as an explanation, even in combination with other explosives. And the question is going to become whether thermite can possibly account for the full range of evidence that we encounter here. If thermite and other explosives, conventional explosives, can account for the full range of phenomena, that may be the simplest and therefore the preferable explanation. But if it cannot, if the degree of destruction and devastation of the World Trade Center is so massive, so enormous, so immense, so thorough, that it cannot be accounted for on that basis, then consideration may have to be given to more complex hypotheses, such as, say, mini nukes, or such as directed energy, or such as related to HAARP. And the HAARP project is extraordinarily interesting. The acronym stands for High Frequency Active Oral Research Program, or HARP. A lot of Americans are completely unaware of the extent of American research into space weapons and the like, which is why if you go to st911.org right now, if you go to the Scholars for 9/11 Truth homepage, you'll scroll down to events for 29 November, that's today, where I'm interviewing Judy Wood, who is a mechanical engineer, a civil engineer, a material science expert, who in my opinion may be the single most qualified person to ever study the physical properties of the events of 9/11, and you'll see a lot of links to her web pages. I'm going to invite Judy to take us on a tour of the evidence, so much of which is visual, and to explain the degree of devastation here and why it looks as though some kind of a high-tech weapon that the public is not generally familiar with may well have been involved here. You'll also note that just below her links, there are two articles. One is Why Did the World Trade Center Buildings Disintegrate?, co-authored by Morgan Reynolds and Judy Woods, which is an assessment of the adequacy of thermite as a scientific explanation. This is not a hit piece on the proponent of that view. It's a dissection or evaluation and appraisal of the theory he has advanced. So let there be no misunderstanding. This is not an ad hominem. This is a scientific appraisal. And then could HAARP have been used at the WTC, which I had put up today? I want to talk a bit about this. The Earth's atmosphere has three levels, the troposphere, which is up to about 3 miles, the stratosphere from 3 to 6, and then the ionosphere, which is above 6 miles. I'm just going to mention some highlights from some major projects. Project Angus back in 1958 involved the U.S. Navy exploding 3 fission-type nuclear bombs well above the South Atlantic Ocean in the part of the lower Van Allen belt closest to the Earth's surface. 2 hydrogen bombs were also detonated over Johnson Island in the Pacific. The military called this the biggest scientific experiment ever undertaken. It was designed by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Atomic Energy Commission. The purpose was to assess the impact of high-altitude nuclear explosions on radio transmission and radar operations. Because of the electromagnetic pulse generated, and to increase understanding of the geomagnetic field and the behavior of charged particles. That was in 58. In 68, solar-powered satellite project. The U.S. military proposed solar-powered satellites in geostationary orbit, some 8 miles above the Earth, which would intercept solar radiation using solar cells on satellites and transmit it via microwave beams to receive antennas called rectennas on Earth. The U.S. Congress mandated the Department of Energy and NASA to prepare an environmental impact assessment on this project to be completed by June 1980 and costing $25 million. The project was designed to construct 60 solar-powered satellites over a 30-year period at a cost between $500 and $800,000 million in $1968. 1977, leaping forward in 10-year increments. SPS military implications. Early review of the solar-powered satellite project began in around 1978. The SPS would be able to transmit power to remote military operations anywhere needed on Earth. The manned platform of the SPS would provide surveillance and early warning capability and ELF surveillance to submarines. That's extremely low-frequency connections with submarines. It would also provide the capability of jamming enemy communications. The potential for jamming and creating communications is significant. The SPS was also capable of causing physical changes in the ionosphere. Most importantly, then, the High Frequency Active Oral Research Program, HARP. The HARP program is jointly managed by the Air Force and the Navy, based in Alaska, designed to understand, stimulate, and control ionospheric processes that might alter the performance of communication and surveillance system. The HARP system intends to beam 3.6 gigawatts of effective radiated power of high-frequency radio energy into the ionosphere in order to generate extremely low-frequency waves for communicating with submarines, conduct geophysical probes to identify and characterize natural ionospheric processes, generate ionospheric lenses to focus large amounts of high-frequency energy, thus providing a means of triggering ionospheric processes that potentially could be exploited by the Department of Defense. Now, the author of this article concludes with some concerns. It would be rash to assume that HARP is an isolated experiment which would not be expanded. It is related to 50 years of intense and increasingly destructive programs to understand and control the upper atmosphere. It would be rash not to associate HARP with a space laboratory construction which is separately being planned by the United States. HARP is an integral part of a long history of space research. The military implications are alarming. The ability of HARP space lab rocket combination to deliver very large amounts of energy comparable to a nuclear bomb anywhere on Earth via laser and particle beams are frightening. Stand by, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure Soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute.
Sagittarius, Capricorn, Cancer. All sun signs that astrologists claim tell us something about a person. Cars have signs, too, that tell us if they're stolen. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
I'm Bobby Likas, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars. One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going, fuel. The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air in fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to BGFindTheShop.com. BG.
Blue nautical signs say smooth sailing. Yellow yield signs say slow down. Here are some red-hot signs that indicate the used car you're considering may be stolen. The vehicle identification number, or VIN number, on the title and on the car itself don't match, and the engine ID number is scratched off. License plates or plate bolts are brand new. Ignition switches feel loose, and keys are copies, not originals. Be aware, knowing these signs of red-hot theft can help you keep your hard-earned green. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit TornadoAir.com or pick up your tornado at Checker, Shucks, and Cragen today.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo, where Kevin Barrett will be with you on Mondays and Fridays. I'm in the midst of doing 6 programs in a row devoted to 9/11, and I'm delighted to welcome onto the show today my special guest, Judy Wood, who is a mechanical engineer, a civil engineer, and a material science expert. Judy, welcome to the show.
Hello, Jim. Thanks. On speakerphone. Is this working okay?
I think it might be better if you use your regular phone because we're getting an echo. If you can do that and still manage whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this working?
Oh, yeah. That's super.
Great, great. Thanks.
Just for the sake of our audience, Judy, I must say, I of course, did an interview with you on Republic Broadcasting Network, my last show on that network before I came here to Genesis, on the 11th, in which we discussed your research, and I was expressing great enthusiasm, and it's really for 2 or 3 reasons. One is because you have done such a marvelous job of exposing the full dimensions of the problem we have to explain, namely the totality of devastation and destruction to the World Trade Center. Second, that you have elaborated the significance of the bathtub as evidence in relation to what kind of causal mechanism may have been involved in destroying the towers. And third, of course, that you have been broadening the range of discussion to encompass hypotheses that go beyond those that have been generally considered within the research community. And I want to commend you and reiterate my enthusiasm for what you have been doing in all of these ways. And I know that so much of the evidence that you have been dealing with is visual, so I want to invite you to take us through your website. Tell us where to go, where I've invited everyone to go to st911.org. And scroll down to 29 November. So if you just tell us what pages to open, I want to turn this over to you so you can explain what your research is turning up.
Thank you. Let me start by telling folks to go to, no W's in it, just janedoe0911.tripod.com/StarWarsBeam1.html. And Star Wars Beam, S is capitalized, W is capitalized, and B is capitalized. You might find it easier to go to st911.org, go down to the 29th of November, and click on the links. There's a lot of links there, and we're going to start with page 1. which is Star Wars Beam 1. Meanwhile, let me tell you how I came to this. We were lied to. We were told this amazingly weird story about planes, you know, hitting the World Trade Center, the World Trade Center being on fire and pancaking down and so forth. And as you remember earlier, I did this billiard ball example where if you just go through this mental example of how the ball, you know, triggering billiard balls releasing at various intervals, there's no way it's going to take 9 seconds, 10 seconds, 11 seconds. That's physically impossible. So right there, we know that the story we were told cannot be true. And if somebody lies to me with several lies that I know for sure are false, I'm not going to believe a whole lot more that they're saying. So what can we believe? We're being told a bunch of different information. What are you going to believe? What are you not going to believe? And I decided to start back at the beginning and look at the data and see what the data tells us. So you're right. My background is in experimental mechanics and, in particular, optical methods. But using optical methods to measure deformations of materials, stress, strain, and motion in materials and of objects. So I'm trained to look at what's going on physically. Well, what evidence do we have? I think, first of all, we need to establish what happened, because what we were told happened could not have happened. So we need to establish what happened, and then how it happened, why it happened, and who done it. But don't go jump into the other steps until you figure out what happened. So I began with no hypothesis, no theory. What evidence do I believe? What evidence do I kind of believe? What evidence do I not really believe? And there's a variety of stories we've been told. You know, the pancake story, the fires causing the buildings to pancake down, or progressive collapse, whatever words you want to use. Fires that burn for 99 days, molten metal, pools, rivers of molten metal, the building collapsed. Forget all that. Let's just start over. Wipe the slate clean and say, what is the data? So let's look at what kinds of data we do have. And I've got this at the top of page one of the Beam, Star Wars Beam article. And the paper began with a different name, but I came to this name, Star Wars Beam Weapon, as sort of what I concluded it came from, the Star Wars program. But I'm not sure. You know, it seems like it could have. But in any case, whatever you want to call it, you can call it whatever name you like. But let's see what kind of evidence we have. Visual evidence. Are the towers still there? Well, if you've physically been there, been at ground zero, walked around there, you're kind of convinced they're not there. Somebody still may be playing tricks with your mind, but it's pretty good evidence. Eyewitness testimony right after the event, if it was recorded right after the event, and, you know, or shortly after that, there's eyewitness testimony, thanks to David Ray Griffin for getting it released, of emergency workers, firemen, policemen, who gave sort of depositions of what they had experienced. And there's physical evidence in the form of actual physical items that have been preserved. Have they been tampered with? How have they been maintained, and do we have a chain of custody? If we took this to court, has it been locked up in the evidence room? How do we know it hasn't been tampered with? Then we have photographs. Ah, we have a huge, almost endless volume of photographs. Some may be tampered with, some may not be. But if they start backing each other, then you kind of can start maybe believing them. We have video footage. And then we have expert witness testimony. What is physically possible, and the quality of the analysis. So let's start out with the first picture. We have these huge towers. They're towering over any other skyscraper in New York City. They're just, like, overwhelming any skyscraper, 110 stories tall. And as Jim pointed out, thanks, 500,000 tons each went slamming down. Well, if that's what happened, what would we see? Well, it turns out that the towers were built on bedrock, which is located below the water table. So they had to isolate the outside water table from the base of the towers. And in that base is where you have PATH trains that go under the Hudson River over to New Jersey. And also you have a connector that goes over to the subway trains. So if you had some damage, you would have a disaster. If you damaged that bathtub wall, you'd have water leaking in from the walls. Or if you jarred it, the PATH train tunnels might get a fissure in them and you get Hudson River water in there. And that would be a big problem. So let's look at the bathtub. And figure one, and two, we're still working on this paper, so the figures haven't been renumbered. But what they're, right now, they each have an individual label. Figure one is the bathtub. Figure two is the PATH station platform after 9/11. The rescue workers went down there to see if anyone needed to be rescued. There you have a PATH train. Fully intact, you have water on the floor. And well, with all his hoses, fire hoses running, the water had to go somewhere.
Okay, well now, thank you for getting us started, Judy. I'm very glad to have my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer with the Dynamic Duo. We will be right back.
Hey ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondent Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
When you love what you do, it's impossible not to be successful doing it. So when it comes to investing your life into a franchise opportunity, how do you know you'll find a franchise that you'll absolutely love? We're Franchise Revenue Systems. Our passion is finding the perfect franchise opportunity to meet your passion and financial resources. If you're a young entrepreneur looking to find that modest seed you can nurture into a lifetime of wealth, we'll help you find it. If you're a seasoned business pro, ready to go big time on your own, we'll work big time to help you find it. Call today and get a free guide revealing the top secrets to starting a franchise. It's yours free with our compliments. Love what you do. Let us help. Give us a call today and get your guide to the top secrets to starting a franchise free as our gift to your entrepreneurial spirit. Call 1-800-922-6939. 1-800-922-6939. 1-800-922-6939.
Send your loved one a timeless treasure this Christmas. Get the book, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell. Set in a simpler time in rural America, when a father and son could harvest their Christmas tree without the fear of being accosted by a UN Eco-Goon squad, when a mother could prepare her family's holiday meal without worries of chemical-laden, genetically modified foods, a time when a man could travel the roads freely without paying tolls to foreign monarchies. The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure, is a wonderful tale in which the adventure and the danger are real. And the joy of Christmas comes from the hearts of a small, humble family, rather than a big-box department store. Written by Steve Culver, fellow patriot and GCN listener. Get your copy, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure. Available at Amazon.com or AuthorHouse.com, or by calling 1-888-280-7715. That's 1-888-280-7715. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNlive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. Tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo today. We're talking about 9/11 with my special guest, Judy Wood. Before I return to Judy, I'd like to just mention that in an address given to the November 11th Washington, D.C. 9/11 Truth Conference, Colonel Bob Bowman warned that 9/11 activists should not put all their eggs in one basket of research. Quote, "We have set ourselves up for criticism. We set ourselves up to be divided when we concentrate on things we can't prove. And even those things we think we can prove, somebody is going to pull the plug, going to come up with another explanation. You know, Professor Jones found thermite. Well, people can say, hey, that's used in cutting torches. That was done by the people who are cutting the building so they can load it on trucks and drive away. It doesn't matter what you got, you wind up arguing details and you lose the big picture. Bob Bowman, as some of you may know, has a PhD in nuclear engineering and was the director of the Star Wars research program in both Democratic and Republican administration. So I think that we can take it from Bob Bowman that we need to keep a broad perspective here and consider a wide range of alternative hypotheses, which is where Judy's work comes in. Judy.
Thanks. Again, we're just looking at a tour of the data, just taking in what could have done this and start, you know, thinking. And Morgan Reynolds, who is a co-author in this work, has been great in asking me questions, and I've asked him questions, and between the two of us, we've started pursuing more and more questions. And I went out on a picture hunt then, trolling the Internet to find what pictures I trusted and believed in, not having any preconceived ideas about what was supposed to happen. Remember, you start out with determining what happened first before how it happened. If you say you only have a slingshot and a BB gun, so it had to be one of those two things that brought down the towers, wait a minute, don't you know about anything else? What don't we know about? Instead of going that route, just say, what happened? How can we explain it? And pretty soon, it might start telling us the answer.
I think figure 9 is a fascinating one, Judy. You might tell us about that.
Figure 9 is a picture of the bathtub. That's the perimeter wall around Ground Zero, and they're partway through cleaning it out, and you can see that the parking structure is still intact in the north end. The north end is to the left.
Figure 17, which is a diagram, gives us a nice illustration of the massive damage that would potentially have been done if the Hudson River water had flowed in within the bathtub and swamped those PATH train cars and the subways throughout New York. It would have cost hundreds of billions of dollars.
Picture 17 was from a newspaper, and I, you know, remember you weigh everything out, take it kind of with a grain of salt or more or less. And what's interesting about Figure 17? That's what you're talking about, Figure 17.
Yes.
Notice the most damaged area is to the right, away from the Hudson direction. Isn't that interesting? It's not towards the direction of the Hudson River.
Reddish area, yes.
What?
reddish area, the area that's
indicates
the more severely damaged.
And in figure 14, you see some folks going into the path train tunnels that go under the Hudson. They don't look damaged. They don't look collapsed in. So going down below, there are some things that were rescued and saved in, I think it's Hangar 77 or Hangar 17 at JFK International Airport. It's sort of a museum of what was in the World Trade Center before the event. Well, here we have Roadrunner, Boghorn Leghorn, and Bugs Bunny. They were in, their life-size characters are even greater than life-size characters. They were in the Warner Brothers store in a mall that was in the first sub-basement, right adjacent to the South Tower, which is WTC-2. So if they had this 500,000-ton building fall on them, they came out without a scratch. True to their character.
Really astonishing. I've been fascinated by your studies of the King Dome, too, if we move down to 21, 22, and so forth.
Right.
Could you explain why that's so significant?
Right. So we have this 500,000-ton crash onto the bedrock. Well, what was recorded? It turns out that the Palisades recording location had measured the equivalent earthquake energy of a 2.1 and a 2.3 earthquake for Tower 2's collapse, and Tower 1's collapse. Why weren't they the same? And they show the chart of Tower 1, which is a 2.3, and they also give one for January 17th, 2001 earthquake. They don't look the same. They have a different character. Who knows why? Then, okay, so let's look at other known seismic events. If we have a building collapse, what should we expect? Well, we have the King Dome. The King Dome was one-fourth of the mass, but it was a whole lot lower to the ground. And the potential energy difference between the two is a factor of 30. So if one of the towers crashed to the ground, it should hit the ground 30 times harder than the King Dome did, if they're both on bedrock. Now, the King Dome was on the softer material that kind of muffles the recording instrument, but we'll pretend they were both the same, because if there's an error, the error would show that the King Dome would have recorded a larger signal. So what I did is look at the comparison. Now we go to page 2. Look at the comparison of the potential energy of the two. And looking at that comparison, it appears that we should have seen at least a 3.8 earthquake with a 30 times greater mass, or, you know, at potential energy hitting it from much higher above. So what's the difference? Now, okay, how could we make one of the towers hit the ground and make the same earthquake energy impact as the King Dome? How about if we decapitate the top half of the building? If the lower half falls, what kind of earthquake would it make? Well, how about if we take out more than the top half? How about if we take out 80% of the top of one of the towers and drop that to the ground? Ah, we're getting close. Turns out the bottom 16 floors of the South Tower would explain its 2.1 earthquake.
Now, Judy, are you including the sub-basement levels there? Or
no, I'm talking about just what's above ground.
Uh-huh.
Only above ground. So we're going to have a little bit of more material below there. And remember, it's anchored into bedrock. That's a huge difference.
You're saying if it were to be the case that the towers would have the same earthquake effects or significance as the King Dome, then they could only have had about 20% of their total mass in order to achieve that comparable effect.
Right. The South Tower made an equivalent 2.1 earthquake, and if you just take the bottom 16 floors and drop them, they would make that kind of earthquake. So what happened to the rest of the building? Did it drop even? From that evidence, it didn't seem to drop. Okay, that's just one data point. But if you look at how much dynamite went into blowing up the King Dome and its mass, and you multiply it by 4, you can assume that much dynamite would be needed to blow up the towers. But they're also being dropped from higher up. And again, you come up with a 3.5 magnitude earthquake, not a 2.1. So that doesn't seem to add up. It really appears that the entire towers did not drop.
And, of course, a 3.5 is overwhelmingly greater as an earthquake given the nature of the Richter scale.
Right. It's a logarithmic scale. So between 2 and 3 is a factor of 10 in energy.
10 times more powerful an earthquake.
Right. And then if we look at the pile of rubble after the kingdom comes down, it's 30 feet high. And people will tiny characters next to it. There was a whole lot of material left. Well, how much material is left after the towers came down? Remember all the search images we saw that day? The search people were walking horizontally.
And, of course, the kingdom, you mentioned in one of your statistics that what is left there when the kingdom comes down is about 12.5% of the total mass, which
right.
we would then expect would be the case with the World Trade Center, but it's vastly less than that.
Much less.
We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. We're discussing the physics of the destruction of the World Trade Center. Stand by, Jim Fetzer. This is the Dynamic Duo.
Hi, Ted Anderson here. I'm happy to announce that the audience has increased over 200% this year, and our advertisers have sent testimonials complimenting the responsiveness. Sponsorship is critical at both local and national levels. If you have a business, product, or message that could benefit from this broadcast locally, call the station you're listening to. For national exposure, call 877-996-4327. Become a part of the Genesis team by calling your local station or call the national line at 877-996-4327.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
A rising